Now we turn back to 1 Peter 5. I hope you brought a Bible with you, because our ministry is expository, going through the Bible, opening up the Word of God and seeing what God has to say to us from His living Word today. And this morning we look at 1 Peter 5, verses 1 to 4. I'll just read these four verses again to refresh our minds. They are about instructions to elders. To the elders among you I appeal as a fellow elder, a witness of Christ's sufferings, and one who will also share in the glory to be revealed. Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, serving as overseers, not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be. Not greedy for money, but eager to serve. Not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. Now we have here instructions to elders. And the first thing that Peter tells us is who they are. We must consider this first of all. Who are these elders? Well, they are those whom Christ has appointed to lead the work in the local church. They are called here, first of all, elders or presbyters. That is the original word there, presbyters. Now, this word has a Jewish background and a Greek background. It has a Jewish background in that they were called that, those men who helped Moses when he was overtaxed with the burden and the responsibility of leading the work, overseeing Israel. When they were in the desert, Moses got really quite down and depressed. It was all too much for him, and the demands of the people were so great. And he cried out to God. And he said, "Where can I get meat for all these people? They keep wailing to me. Give us meat to eat." Well, they meant physical food. We're going to see that part of the elder's job is to feed spiritual food. But the cry still rightly comes from the people of God. "Give us meat to eat." "Well," says Moses, "I cannot carry all these people by myself. The burden is too heavy for me. If this is how you are going to treat me, put me to death right now, if I have found favor in your eyes, and do not let me face my own ruin." He's breaking up, you see. The Lord said to Moses, "Bring me 70 of Israel's elders who are known to you as leaders." There it is, elders. "Who are known to you as leaders and officials among the people. Make them come to the tent of meeting that they may stand there with you. I will come down and speak with you there, and I will take of the spirit that is on you and put the spirit on them. They will help you carry the burden of the people so that you will not have to carry it alone." Now it has a great history then. Elders, presbyters, leaders, those who are to look after the people. And by the time of Jesus, when they met in synagogues, assemblies for worship, they were ruled over by presbyters, elders, with a presiding elder at the head. But then the word was used in the Greek world too, of city councillors who ruled over the cities. And so we have here, first of all, that the leaders of the church are called presbyters, elders. But then they're also overseers. If you look at verse 2, they are serving as overseers. Again, the word is episkopoi, those who overlook or oversee. We'll come back to the meaning of that. And then he says a third thing about them, that they are shepherds. Verse 2, be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care. So they are presbyters, elders, they are overseers, and they are shepherds. Now, in the New Testament, those three offices are all the same. They're just different names for the same person, the leader whom Christ has appointed in the church. If you have your Bible with you, keep your marker in 1 Peter 5, and if you like to turn back with me to Acts 20, we'll just look up one or two texts just to show this. There are some people who have never grasped this. Acts 20. You see, the word overseer or episcopos is sometimes translated in English versions bishop. But in the New Testament, I hope I can show you that bishops and elders and pastors are all the same office. Now, in Acts 20 and verse 17, we read that from Miletus Paul sent to Ephesus for the elders of the church, the presbyters. All right. Now, that's who came to speak with him. Now, in verse 28, guard yourselves and all the flock of which or over which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Margin, bishops. Same people, same office. Not a different office. Then he goes on, be shepherds, pastors of the church of God, which he bought with his own blood. So there we are. Now if you turn on to 1 Timothy 3, the pastoral epistles as they're called, 1 Timothy 3, here is a trustworthy saying, page 260 in the NIV, 260. If anyone sets his heart on being an overseer, episcopos, a bishop, an overseer, he desires a noble task. Now the overseer must be above reproach, husband of but one wife, and so on. Then he gives instructions for those who are to hold this office. But when we turn on a page to chapter 5 and verses 17 and 18, we read this. The elders who direct the affairs of the church well are worthy of double honor, especially those whose work is preaching and teaching. The presbyters. Not now the overseers, but the presbyters. But they're the elders, but they're the same people. Bishops, elders, the same people. They direct the affairs of the church, and some of them especially work in preaching and teaching. Now, when you turn to Titus in chapter 1 and verse 5. The reason I left you in Crete, says Paul to Titus, was that you might straighten out what was left unfinished and appoint elders, presbyters, in every town as I directed you. An elder must be blameless, the husband of but one wife, a man whose children believe and are not open to the charge of being wild and disobedient. Since an overseer, now he changes to the other word, a bishop or an overseer, is entrusted with God's work. He must be blameless, so on, not overbearing, quick-tempered, not given to much wine, and so forth. So, it is the same office, the same person, a pastor, an elder, an overseer, a bishop. Not separate, the same office, just different words giving a different slant to the work. I believe the Bible reveals that the church should be governed by a plurality of such men, elders, who have a joint responsibility before Christ who has appointed them. When Paul writes to the Philippians, he writes to the bishops or elders and deacons, plural. So it doesn't matter what you call the governing body, I don't think. Sometimes it may be called a Kirk session. Sometimes it may be called the church executive, as we call it here. Sometimes in some churches it's called, because they are overseers, the oversight. I'm not sure if that's the happiest word, because I knew of a young man who was feeling cross with the overseers in his church because he wanted to do something a little different, and they forbade him. He didn't think much of the elders, the overseers, and somebody said, but they are the oversight. And so he went and looked up the word in the dictionary, and it said an oversight is a mistake. And he said, well, there's certainly a mistake in this assembly. But he had to knuckle under and be under their authority. Now I want you to look at verse 4 of 1 Peter 5, where it says, and when the chief shepherd appears, he is the chief elder, the chief pastor, the chief presbyter or bishop. Now in the Greek, it's arch pastor, literally arch, supreme. And it's interesting, therefore, that the one and only real true archbishop is the Lord Jesus Christ. If a pastor is a bishop and a bishop is an elder, then what is an archbishop? The Lord Jesus Christ. You see how easily down the years traditions can depart from scripture uses. We have our own problems that way as well. But it's interesting that Alan Stipps, senior tutor at one time in the New Testament in the Church of England Theological College, says in his commentary on 1 Peter that bishops and pastors and elders are the same office, and then I quote him, he, Jesus, is the one arch-shepherd or archbishop to whom the under-shepherds are answerable and by whom they will be rewarded. Don't know whether he sent a copy of that to York and Canterbury or not. Even more, and far more serious, I want you to notice what Peter says about himself in verse 1 here. To the elders among you, I appeal as a fellow elder. You notice he doesn't say, to the elders among you, I direct you as the Pope, as the supreme pontiff. You see, you probably know, or perhaps you don't know, that the Roman Catholic Church teaches that the Pope is supreme ruler over all Christians. And that is because, they argue, Peter was given that office by the Lord Jesus Christ in the first place, and every bishop of Rome from that time on is in the succession of Peter. Well, now, I have to say that I cannot find that in my Bible. It says nothing in my Bible about successions to Peter anyway, but neither did the Lord Jesus Christ make Peter the supreme head over all the church and over all Christians. And he never claimed that. Peter never claimed that for himself. And he doesn't claim it here. He was an apostle, and he was a fellow elder with other elders in the church, as he says. Now that's far more serious. Notice that he says he is a witness of Christ's sufferings, verse 1. He means by that not only that he observed Christ's sufferings, but that he testifies to them and what they meant. That is what a witness in the New Testament terminology means. One who has seen, but one who tells. And Jesus said, we are all to be his witnesses. Whatever we have seen of Jesus or learned of Jesus, we are to tell to others. You will be my witnesses, he said with almost his last words, in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and to the uttermost end of the earth. One who sees and one who tells, and one who will share in the glory to be revealed with Peter. So the first thing we consider from these verses is who they are, these leaders. Now let's consider together what they are to do, because Peter tells us that. Well, they are to shepherd God's flock. Verse 2, be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care. It's a verb in the Greek. We haven't got an equivalent verb word. Shepherd the flock. Some versions put tend the flock. Some say feed the flock. Be shepherds to the flock. That is their work. That is the responsibility. Notice that Peter says of God's flock. It's God's flock, the church. What a wonderful thing to belong to God's flock. You, Christian, you are a sheep
of Christ's pasture. He is the good shepherd, and he loved you and he died for you particularly. And he knows your name, every last one of you. We read it in John 10 on Thursday. These words, listen to them. I am the good shepherd, Jesus said. I know my sheep and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen, Gentiles. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. He says, you do not believe me because you are not of my sheep. My sheep listen to my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. So when you hear the devil say, you'll never get to heaven, you'll lose your faith, you can't make it, you're not a true Christian. If you are a true Christian, you've given your heart to Jesus, you know that he's your shepherd, he'll look after you. Boys and girls in the Covenanters, do you know this Apostle Peter, whose letter that we are studying, when Jesus appeared to him on the shores of the Sea of Galilee, he said to him, Peter, do you love me? Feed my sheep. And then he said to him, feed my lambs. Do you know what that tells me? It tells me that the Lord Jesus Christ loves to save boys and girls. He's got lambs. And the elder's task and the elder's job and the pastor's task is to feed the lambs as well as the sheep. And if you have given your young heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, he's received you. And you are his. You're one of his lambs. He knows your name. He knows when you get up and when you go to bed. He knows you all through the night when you're asleep, and he looks after you. He knows your problems at school. He knows your problems with your parents. He knows your problems with your brothers and sisters. He knows everything. He knows your temptations, and he loves you. And he loves every one of us because he is the good shepherd, and he gave his life for his sheep. And so he has appointed under shepherds. He's the arch shepherd, the arch pastor. And he has appointed under shepherds to shepherd God's flock, which is under their care. Every Christian should not only be able to say, the Lord Jesus Christ is my shepherd, but should be able to say, that man or those men are my elder or pastor or shepherd that he has appointed to care for me. There have been Christians, alas, sometimes, who have thought themselves very spiritual to say, I don't need any pastor to care for me because the Lord Jesus is my shepherd. They know better than Scripture. They know better than the Lord himself, because the Bible says the ascended Lord Jesus has given some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, some to be pastors and teachers. Said Jeremiah through God's Spirit in prophecy, I will give you pastors according to my heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. So, beloved, don't say you don't need what Jesus says you do need. Don't reject that which the Lord Jesus has given to you. The pastor's job is to feed the sheep. That is his first calling. Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want, said David, who knew a lot about shepherds and sheep. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He restoreth my soul. He leads me beside still waters. The first duty of the under-shepherd, under the chief shepherd, is to feed the flock of God entrusted to his care, to lead them into green pastures. Peter, feed my sheep. Peter, feed my lambs. Peter says, shepherds, elders, feed the sheep. Feed the lambs. What with? How are we to feed the lambs and the sheep? By teaching the word of God. By doing what I am doing now. Expounding the bread of life. Feeding the bread of life. It's nourishment. And that's what we are to do. Regularly and steadily, the flock of God is to feed upon green pasture, not dry pasture. Nourishing. Green grass is nourishing. It's alive. It's fresh. The good shepherd knows where to find it. He leads the sheep into green pasture and they lie down in green pasture. It's not a nibble one week and nothing for a month. It's steady, regular feeding upon the word of God with a balanced, nourishing, fresh, alive diet from the word of God. That's why Christians have to seek it out in these barren days, sometimes, even if they have to travel. I know a pastor in the north of England, and because people travelled to hear his ministry and receive the word, he was accused of stealing sheep. Have you heard that expression? Sheep stealer. To which he gave this lovely but devastating reply. He said, "We don't steal sheep, but we do grow grass." We do grow grass. God's sheep should want grass. It's a condemnation of so many believers today that they have spiritual anorexia. They don't want grass. They're content with stubble. And when God's Spirit works in revival amongst the people of God, one of the things that happens is they say, "Feed us with green pasture. We'll settle for nothing less. We don't want politics from the pulpit. We don't want your latest brand of sociology. We want to hear the word of God. We want to bring our Bibles. We want to open them. We want you to teach us from the word of God." Like a newly converted man in my previous church said to me one day, "I can't get enough of this. I can't get enough of this." Value it, dear friend, if you have it. If you haven't, travel for it if you must. Said C.H. Spurgeon, "It is better to go 100 miles to hear a faithful preacher than to listen to a man from whom you get no good because he happens to preach near you. Men go many miles to a skillful physician or a healing fountain." Now, he wrote that or said that, preached that 100 years ago when travel was not so easy as it is today. It's all very well, people saying, "But there's a church across the road from where you live." Yes, well, there may be sheep, and they may be brought by the shepherd to a field, and there may be a notice up that says, "Pasture." But when they get there, there isn't any pasture. It's barren. So they have to journey on until they find where they can lie down in green pasture. Feed the flock of God entrusted to you, says Peter, those that God has given to you, sheep and lambs. What a privilege, what a responsibility. Of course, the shepherd will, in his shepherding, not only feed, he will seek to protect. He will warn, for there will be wolves that come in to seek to ravage the flock. And especially the young lambs. That's why, young people, I sometimes seek to warn you of the devil's devices with relationships and with places and with pleasures and with habits. Not because Christianity is killjoy. God is the author of all good pleasure. It says in the Bible, "At his right hand are pleasures forevermore." God is not a killjoy. It's the devil who's a killjoy. The devil dangles baubles of attraction to people, but it's only that he might get hold of them and in the end lead them to ruin and misery. God's way is perfect, as we thought yesterday at the wedding. Seek it then, this green pasture. Value it, dear flock. And any pastors here and elders and leaders, we are to protect the people of God. We're to care for them. We're to tend them. And one other thing, we're to go out in the name of the chief shepherd after the lost sheep and bring them back that there may be rejoicing. I must hurry on to my third point. First of all, who are these elders? Secondly, what are they to do? Thirdly, how are they to do it? How are they to do it? Three ways are listed here in these verses. First of all, in a right spirit. These shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, serving as overseers, not because you must, but because you are willing. In a right spirit. Well, you would think, don't they have a right spirit with such an honor as to be appointed to this office by the Lord? Surely they would regard it as nothing but sheer joy. Well, it should be so, but sometimes the responsibility can be so overwhelming and the workload can be so very heavy, as it was for Moses, that they feel like giving up. And especially if the flock is not very responsive, unlike, I might say, the wonderful flock that I am honoured to lead and to serve, who are very responsive. But you see, the writer to the Hebrews says this in the last chapter of his letter: obey your leaders and submit to their authority. They keep watch over you as men who must give an account. Obey them so that their work will be a joy, not a burden, for that would be of no advantage to you. You see. And so sometimes it may be that for the elders they feel, as Paul said, the care of the churches. The heat of the day, the workload, the responsibility, the frustration of never being able to do all that needs to be done, the heartache of those who wander away from the faith that they have once professed. But yet, the Apostle Peter says to the leaders, to the elders, the pastors, you must have a right spirit to your work. You must be shepherds, not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be. After all, it's God's flock, and He has His heartaches. He weeps His tears over those who wander from the faith. He feels the care of the churches, this great chief shepherd, our Lord Jesus Christ. But He does it willingly. He does it lovingly. Because He loves the flock, and it's God's appointment for Him. Now you are under Him, so do it in the same spirit. Secondly, with the right motive, not for sordid gain, as the New American Standard has it, or for shameful gain, as the RSV puts it, or not greedy for money, as the New International Version has it, for the right motive. It doesn't mean that the pastors or the elders in the church shall never be supported by pay, because as we read in 1 Timothy 5:17 and 18, those that rule well are to be counted worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in the preaching and teaching, for the worker deserves his wages. No, this verse, this phrase, this expression would be meaningless if there was no right for those who pastor the flock to be supported by the flock with money and support. What he's therefore saying is, you mustn't do it for that. You mustn't be greedy for gain. You mustn't be in it for what you're going to get out of it, for an easy living. And alas, sometimes in history that has been the case. God forbid that it ever would be today. Anyone should say, well, I can't earn my own bread, I can't keep a job, I can't do anything, so I'm going to be a minister. I think I'll be a pastor. I think I'll get God's people to pay my bills. Never. No. Not for shameful gain, but having been entrusted with the task by the chief shepherd, then his flock will support those whom it feels right to do. And then in a right manner, verse 3, he says, not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. Some, alas, cannot hold authority without being authoritarian. Some are autocratic if they have even a smell of office in the church. That's wrong. The Apostle Peter says that those who hold this responsible office must be examples to the flock. So often we leaders say to our flocks, do not do as I do, but do as I say. Or don't copy me. But that is not the biblical teaching. Those who would lead the flock must be examples to the flock. You read the words of the Apostle Paul, who he did say to them, copy me. You saw how we lived among you, live likewise. What a challenge to those who would hold this office. So, how they are to do it, in the right spirit, with the right motive, and in a right manner. Humbly, as servants to those they serve. But last of all, what is at the end of it? Verse 4, when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. God will reward you. One older minister, instructing a young minister just coming into the office, said to him, the pay is not very good, my son, but the pension is out of this world. And... there's a sense in which that's absolutely true. Not in it for shameful gain, not in it because it's the best paid career that you can get, or the easiest job, the easiest meal ticket, nothing to do but work one day a week and rest the other six, or something of that kind. No, but the pension is wonderful. When the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away, he says. You see, they were into games in those days, and they got a crown if they won, not a gold medal or a cup, but they received a crown. It was a wreath of leaves, but it faded away. And every year they ran again to see who would get the crown. But when you serve the Lord Jesus Christ, when you run in this race, you will receive a crown of glory which will never fade away. Those who faithfully serve will one day hear the Master say, well done, good and faithful servant. My dear friend, some of you are a lot nearer than you were a while ago. You know what I mean by that. Don't be weary, worn and sad. You're going to see Jesus. You're going to receive your reward. You may be weary. You may be worn. But don't be sad. Because those who have served faithfully when the chief shepherd appears will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. Notice when it says the full rewards will be given, when the chief shepherd appears. When we go to heaven, we are with Jesus, and that's reward enough. When we go to heaven, we are in a place of bliss and peace. There's no more sin, there's no more devil, there's no more temptation, there's no more sickness. But that is not the end of the story. There's going to be a coming again of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ is going to appear. He's going to come with all his holy angels and with all those who have given their hearts to him, young and old. All his flock will be completed, the chief shepherd. And there's going to be a prize giving on that day. The body will be resurrected from the dead. We must never forget the resurrection. We must never forget the coming again of the Lord. We must never forget the new heaven and the new earth which Jesus is going to create. And we're going to live with him in that tremendous climactic place. And then he will give to us our rewards. I know, we say with the collect, to ask for no reward save that of knowing that we do thy will. Well, whether we say that or not, he says he's going to give us a reward. God is no one's debtor, and those who have served him faithfully will receive a faithful reward. You say to me, Mr. Kilbride, you've been talking just to pastors or elders or officers or leaders. There's no message in it for me this morning. You're wrong. Jesus said, those that are faithful in little would be faithful in much. I don't care what ministry the Lord Jesus has given to you, that's your ministry. He's given it to you. The chief shepherd has given that to you. You may be a wife. He's given you that ministry. It's a high office and a calling. A homemaker. A mother. You may be a writer. Not of books necessarily, but of letters. You may be an encourager. You may be a visitor. You may be a teacher. You may be a committee member. You may be a counselor. You may be a steward. You may be a cleaner. You may be a decorator. You may be a driver, a singer, a typist, a giver, an administrator. Well, do it well, beloved, as unto the Lord, in a right spirit, not because you must, but because God has given that and entrusted to you. With a right motive, not for gain or any kudos that you can get out of it or rewards in this life. Not in the wrong manner, using that ministry for lording it over others, but in the right manner. And I promise you, that when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. We are always looking forward because we belong to Jesus, for his name's sake. Our Father, we thank you that we are your flock. We do not ultimately belong to any man save the man Christ Jesus, our chief shepherd and our Saviour, the one who laid down his life for us on the cross, the one who feels our every woe, who loves us, who is preparing a place for us, and who will one day at his appearing give to us a reward for that which we have done. We are satisfied to know we're going to be with him, but we know that there is going to be given to us a crown of glory on that day. Oh Lord, help us to keep going. Help us to keep going as long as you would have us do so. Give to us daily grace to fulfill our own ministries, whatever they may be, according to your appointment. And may the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with us all, now and until that day when we shall see him and be like him. Amen.